Okay, so Shir today is jumping around a bit in terms of the Gemara, but it really is focused on... There we are. Okay. So yes, our sugya is jumping around in the Gemara a bit, but it's really focused on the question of what the extent of the lav is. We spent a previous year, we focused on the nature of the assay, and now we're going to think about the lav. And to a large degree, this really goes back on how you read the pasuk. When it says, lo sikach ha'em al habanim, don't take the mother on with by the children, what does that mean? And how do we understand that? And how does that play itself out? So without going into the details yet, we're going to see that as we go through this. But I think it makes sense to start with the key lines from the Mishnah and Gemara, and then we'll look at how the Pesukim are interpreted and try to come up with the extent and the application of the lav here. So in order to do that, I think we should probably get volunteers for reading. First, the first Mishnah on Kuf Mem Amud Beis. Yeah.
All right. Okay, if Haisam is Milk Bethes, she would be, like, flying. Because Man Shek Nafaha, Nog Oz, at the times that her wings are touching the neck, she's Chayav and Shilach Bekein. And when her wings are not touching the nest, then it's Pater.
Right, so this is the line that will be most relevant to us in the Mishnah. We'll look at the rest of it too, but right, you're supposed to be, and the Gemara goes into some detail. If we have time, we'll get to that. But the basic idea is, it needs to be, the mother needs to be sitting, the mother needs to be sitting on the chicks or eggs, or at the very least, touching them. If the mother is flying, hovering over them, that would seem to be insufficient. Okay?
L'shaleach,
yeah, it's the PL, right?
So even if there's only one chick or egg, then it's still crying up. Shnamar, Cain, because it says Cain. Cain to call Nakom. It's saying in any case, even if there's one. Hayu Sham Ephrochim, Makrichim, Obeitem Ugaros, Patar Minishalayach. If there's chicks that are. I
think jumping, right? Poreach is like to grow or to jump. So they're getting there, right? They're semi-independent, right? Rashi says gedolim. They're already able to jump a bit.
Fledglings.
Yeah, great.
Already growing older, or non-viable eggs, then those are pater from the mitzvah. Shnemar ha'imro betes al ha'frochem o al ha'beitem. Just like a frochem are like viable, like living creatures, af beitzim b'nei kayama. So to the beitzim have to be like shal kayama. Yatsu muzaros, if they came out like non-viable.
I think yatsu muzaros, that excludes muzaros if they're non-viable, right? And this is why you can't just go up to a chicken coop and do shalokhein. Also, it's probably owned by someone. But anyway, yeah, so that there's a couple of reasons why. But good, okay. Yeah.
Just like beitzim need their mother, afhaprochim srifen liman, so too the chicks need their mother, so they can't be like old enough already. Yatsu mafrichim, so that's to exclude the mafrichim.
Okay, great. So again, if we have time, we'll look at the Gemara, but the important line for our purposes that we'll look at is this the standard that me'ofefes is excluded, right? If the mother's not on the nest or at least touching the nest, but rather hovering over it or flying around, then the mitzvah of shiloh ha'kein doesn't apply, right? Because it's not ve'im rovetzes ala afrochim. Okay, so let's jump now to the next Mishnah on Kuf Mem Aleph, Amid Aleph. And do we have a volunteer for that? Yeah? Sorry?
So if you sent away the mother and she has come back even four or five times, you're still chayav, I guess, to send her again. Because of what the pasuk says.
Right, you need to send the mother away, so comes back, you send it again.
Right. Okay, Amar Ha'inu Tal Ha'aim, it's a Mishalai Ha'kabanim. So if you say, I am taking the mother and sending the sons, chayav, I guess you're still chayav to send her away. Shana Amar Shalach Tishalach Ha'aim, because it says, you shall send the mother. So if you take the sons and then return them to her. And
yeah, and probably the Girsa here, my Masor HaSajas has it, hopefully yours do too, that La seems wrong, right? Because it sounds like the mother's not there. So what would that even mean? Unless La means to the Khan, but then they just change the Girsa to, right, the Hechziron Lekain. You put the chicks back in the nest, okay. Right, you send the mother away, and you took the eggs, or the mother goes away, you take the eggs, and you put them back, you're putter, and why are you putter? What does Rashi say? Right, you made a kinyan akba, you own it, and now it's mezumen, so now the mitzvah doesn't apply. If there were a scenario that you didn't take ownership, then that wouldn't be an issue, but this just... to think practically for a second, and we saw this bit before, if you take ownership of the nest, let's say through a kinyan chatzer, right, which usually we assume your courtyard or your property sort of takes ownership of things for you, then you wouldn't be chayv in shluch hakein, at least in the standard case, unless you sort of say, well, I don't want my courtyard to be, my chatzer to be kona things for me that would involve shluch hakein or something like that. But anyway, those are some additional details. Again, for our purposes here, the line that we're going to focus on is the case of Hareini notel esa'im u'mishalech esa'banim chayev shenemar shalech teshalach esa'im. Right? If you say you want to send away the mother and... sorry, it's the opposite. Right? You want to take the mother and send away the chicks. That doesn't work. You're chayev. Presumably, you're chayev to send away the mother based on the pasuk shalech teshalach esa'im. We'll see that gets a fair amount of play in the issues we're going to look at. And now, finally... a snippet, a memra, one statement from Rav Yehuda Amar Rav on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis towards the bottom. Do we have someone who wants to take that? Any takers? Now there's like okay, half hands. Someone who hasn't gone before, maybe? I don't know, it's an opportunity. But if not, then we can... no? Okay, then we can have a repeat. Okay, tomorrow.
I'm just looking for the place because I just opened it up.
So. Yeah, it's maybe eight lines up, which
okay,
doesn't...
I see it. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar
Rav. Mm-hmm.
Haitha Yoshevet...
The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asur Lezakos. Hopefully it was clear enough in the handout.
Maybe someone else who I...
Yeah, Dvorah?
Okay. Hashad Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asur Lezakos Bebeitz and Shaim Rav Etzalayan. So you can't, be Kona... eggs that the mother is on top of. Because it says first you have to send away the mother and then you take the babies. So you can't reverse the order.
Right, you can't reverse the order, or I think included in that is if you never end up sending the mother, you just want to take the chicks. Right, that's prohibited on the basis of
Shalech Ata'im.
Right, that you have to send the mother and then you take the chicks, as opposed to the other way around. Right, and what deal can we make from this? What's not said?
It's not said about just taking the mother.
No. Right. Well, I mean, something like that. I mean, it doesn't say there's a lav, right? It says it's a bitul aseh, right? It says you're not sending away the mother, so it's a bitul aseh, but it doesn't say you're violating the lav of lo sikacha im al habanim, right? It sounds like this would not qualify as lo sikacha im al habanim. I think if you went on the street, Jewish street, and ask people, if you go up to a bird's nest and you take the chicks and you leave the mother there, did you violate the prohibition of L'sikach Eim Al-Banim? I'm guessing people would say, or did you violate the prohibition of Shilachim? People say, of course, that's the main violation, but apparently not. I mean, we'll see, it's a bit more complicated than that, but from this Gemara, it sounds like you didn't violate the law, you only were mevatel v'aseh of not doing things in the right order or not sending the mother first. Even if you never send the mother at all, you've only been mevatel and aseh, there's no lav there. So already we have to figure out what is the lav, or what exactly is the lav. And to do that, we need to understand what the pasuk means. Lo sikach ha'em ala banim. Prepositions in Hebrew are a little complicated and not always consistent. So we have to figure out how exactly to parse that phrase. And that's why we have these various makoros here. To start with some of Farshim, yeah.
When we say that in that case you're mevatel the aseh, is it only if you think that the aseh is like
also, like, me, Kara, but, like, because, like, if you think that the assay is just to remedy the law, then, like, presumably you're not about to have assay yet.
Yeah, so it is a little tough. Like, how would the Rambam explain that if he really thinks that, right, that's your question. If he really thinks the law, the assay is only after you did the lav, there's what to think about here. How would the Rambam go with this? As we'll see, the Rambam has a different way out, in terms of what taking the kids is. So hold that thought, and when we see the Rambam on this, things will make a lot more sense. Right, yeah, so it's sort of funny, right? For compared to like what we would have assumed, it's too little, it's not a lav. For the Rambam, it's too much. How is there an assay? So we'll get there. Okay, good. Any other questions before we jump into the handout? Okay. So, right, just before we look at the sources themselves, how would we translate Lo sigach ha'em al abanim? What does this al? What does al mean? Or what synonym might we give for al in Hebrew, in English? On. Well, so don't take the mother on the kids. What would that mean? What does that mean exactly?
Like, you would have to physically be on top.
Okay. Right. So theoretically, you could say that. I didn't see any Mepharshim who say that. That's maybe a hyper literal, right? Because al, we say al is on, but al is frequently, you know, not like physically on in Hebrew, whereas on in English is more, you know, more frequently used like that. But yeah, in theory, you could have said that. What else?
I mean, I don't know if it was turned into a Hebrew word, but maybe if you read it in a certain, like, syntax, I guess, it could mean, don't take the mother that's on the chicks, and it could mean, like, you know, the mother who theoretically sits on the chicks, or it could mean the mother and the chicks together, like, mother on the chicks, like, this unit, like, I don't know, it could mean...
Right. I guess you're going the same direction as Sari, is that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I spoke too soon. I mean, there is, you know, we'll see in a bit, the Me'ofefes Mishnah does tie into that at least a little bit. So maybe we could say it means on, like in an extreme sense, although they do have, there's a little bit of leeway with touching and whatever, if you get into the details of that sugya there, but some sort of physical proximity could be one interpretation, yeah?
Oh, never mind, I was going to say nearby, but that's also physical.
Right, yeah, that's one, right, one direction you go in is like on or touching or near. Near probably doesn't work because if you're just near and you're not touching at all, but you need some sort of proximity and or touching or at least being on top of. What else? Yeah, Dvorah?
It does mean with. Sometimes you have like all meaning with.
Mm-hmm. With. Right. So don't take the mother ala banim meaning im habanim. Mm-hmm. Right. And some mepharshim we're going to see say that. Okay. Yeah. What else? You want to suggest that? Any other suggestions? Great, yeah, so from doesn't fit with al, but it does fit with me'al. And as we'll see, some mepharshim parse al as me'al, from on. And sometimes you have, you know, you leave out your mems in your Biblical Hebrew sometimes, just how it goes. And we'll see that will be an approach also, right? So, and what's the impetus, like, why are you saying that? Why do you want it to mean from? Meaning in terms of like the meaning of the mitzvah or the right there, you don't want to separate between them. So from me'al would make sense. Okay, and the other and one more, and maybe this is what Sari and Tamar were getting at, but maybe slightly different, which is focusing on the connection, maybe not physically, but be'oda, like, as we'll see in Rashi, be'oda al, like while it's still by them or still near them or touching them. Which again, maybe the physical proximity or some other sort of proximity as well. So we have a few different options in terms of how to parse the pasuk, and you know we have a lot of mepharshim here that get into this. So starting, I just threw in Unkelus just for contrast to Targum Yonos, and Unkelus says Lo sisav ima al binaya, which is just like word for word literal translation, right? Don't take the mother al the sons. That doesn't really tell you anything, right? That's just word for word. And he says al means al. But if you look in Targum Yonasan, by contrast, what does he say?
Me'al.
Me'al, right? Lo sisav ima me'al binaya. Don't take the mother from the children. Right? And as we just said, that emphasizes this idea of separation. That's really the central theme is separating the mother from the children. That's what you shouldn't do. So that's in terms of Targumim. What about Rashi? Right, Rashi here? Someone want to explicate Rashi's view? You can read it too if you want. Yeah, sorry.
Well, when he says Bodal Vana, I guess that's also a separation type of thing. I mean, you can read it both. I guess it's probably easier to read it as literal on, while she's like physically on her children.
Right. At least previously, the mother is on the children. Whether you're separating them or taking them together, I guess that's theoretically ambiguous. Maybe that's what you're getting at. But right. But beforehand, be'oda albana, the mother has to actually be on, touching, near something like that, on the children for this prohibition to apply. So that's really a different approach. And there's a couple of mefarshei Rashi included here, what are known as super commentaries. Their superpowers that they comment on Rashi. So that does well for them. So we'll look through a few of them. There seems to be two different themes or two different angles in how to read Rashi. So the Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, the Re'eim, says, Osikach be'oda al-habaneha, ki perish al-habanim be'oda al-habanim, mean while it's still on or by the children. And he quotes the Mishnah, Tam Perek Shiluch HaKein, Haisa me'ofefes, B'zman Shekafea Nogin B'Kein, Chayev L'Shaleach, In Kafea Nogin, Patrim L'Shaleach. Right, as long as the wings are touching the nest, you're Chayev to send, right? Be'oda al habanim, there needs to be touching, needs to be some sort of contact. And he says, V'tani rovetes v'lo me'ofefes, right? Why does it say rovetes as opposed to me'ofefes? That makes that distinction. Yachal afilu knafea nogos bekein. Talmudomar rovetes. That's from the drasha there. Via perish lo sikach ha'im al banim lo sikach ena be'oda rovetes al baneha. While the mother is still crouching over, is still touching her children, you can't take the mother. Lafuke me'ofefes she'in knafea nogos bekein she'u patu meshech. But if it's flying, then you can take it. So the Re'eim says that Rashi here is really all about our Mishnah on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, right? It's all about the difference between me'ofefes and noga'as, right? And in a sense, it's an explication of rovetzes. It's, if you want to understand what rovetzes means, you look at the word al at the end of the pasuk, losikach ha'im al habanim be'oda al habanim, and that helps explain the standard there. So that's one approach. And one thing that's worth thinking about in Rashi is what's Rashi not saying? Right, Rashi's saying be'oda al banim. You know, it sounds like he adds the word be'oda, but otherwise Rashi is repeating the pasuk. The pasuk says al banim. Rashi says be'oda al banah. So what's Rashi? Maybe Rashi's repeating language in order to not read it a different way, and that's what some of the mefarshim here go into. So the Gur Aryeh says,
"Wait,
aren't we stuck
here?"
Yeah.
I feel like we were missing like the thrust. When I was doing the mefarshim, we were missing like the thrust of the Re'eim. What interpretation of Rashi's Re'eim trying to put?
He's suggesting that al habanim is talking about the position or the physical relationship between the mother and the baby before you take it, in order for the mitzvah, you know, the mitzvah, the aseh, the los aseh, to be in effect. That it needs to be touching it, nogim, which is a definition of rovetzes, as opposed to me'ofefes, hovering over it and not touching. And the question is, what's when Rashi says be'oda al banah, what is he contrasting? So the Gur Aryeh says, "Klomar she'ein perish hakasuv shelo yikach ha'em al habanim, aval ha'em mutar lo likach bilvad." Don't read it that it's prohibited to take the mother with the children, but it's permitted to take the mother alone. Shreiachar k'siv shalech shalach ha'em. Obviously, the next pasuk tells you need to send away the mother. She'asar likach ha'em. So don't read like that. Ela perish lo yikach ha'em al habanim be'oda al habanim. Right, it can't possibly mean that the prohibition is only to take the mother along with the children, because right, you have to send the mother. Instead, the prohibition means that while if they're physically together before, that's when the prohibition's in effect. So, what's very interesting about that? The view that according to the Gur Aryeh, Rashi's rejecting is actually the view of who? The Rambam, it would seem. We'll get to that in a bit. So, according to the Gur Aryeh, Rashi is saying, as opposed to Rashi is excluding the view that you need to send them together. Whereas in the Divrei David, probably goes in a similar direction. It says, Lafuke delotema al kmo im, kmo vayavo hanashim al hanashim, which means im, right? They came together, the men and the women. So both of these read Rashi as excluding a view of excluding the view that it means that it would have to be together. And this is a bit of a different focus than the Re'im, right? So, or at least the Divrei David, you could take in a different direction. So I think at this point we haven't seen the Rambam yet, but the Chizkuni will say something similar. So what, does someone want to read the Chizkuni to get our third view out there, and then we can start thinking about this a bit more? Do we have a Chizkuni volunteer? Yeah, Tamar.
So he's comparing, he said that you shouldn't take the mother from the sons in a way, like, because it's, you know, a way, it's basically like evil, and it's like Rav Tanis, wasn't that the word we had before that meant like, I guess there's no really like English translation, but like from like appetite, like Rav.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And he compares it to like Edi Bechele Bimo, and Otoa,
right, so he said that's the reason, right? You don't want to be gorging on mother and chick together. That's wrong. We saw this previously, as you said, and that's both mean-spirited and overly consumption focused. Okay, and that's helpful background for understanding how he reads the key words in the pasuk. Ala banim.
Im habanim. Dugma al sadeh ha'aretz yichshav al olas tamid al parsha. So I actually did not know what the end that it was referring to. But is he saying that like all habanim should be read as in habanim? Like you should read it as interchangeable? And then I thought the other examples that he gave were kind of like maybe like examples of where you see that also
mm-hmm.
in the Torah.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, they are etzi chashev in terms of redeeming the land. The wall, I think, or the batei arichoma count as part of the field. And al olas hatamid means along with. The olas hatamid on when you bring a carbon musaf, and al pirsha yisrof means you burn the you burn that along with the parish, along with the entrails. So in each case, al means im, it means with. And so to here, los gachem alabanim, don't take the mother along with the chicks. So we have three different perspectives here on what the primary isser is. What's the focus? Just let's spell this out, and then I'll take a question. What's the primary isser lo sigach em al habanim? Does it mean do not take the mother me'al habanim? It's primarily a prohibition about separating between the two. Under certain circumstances, if you separate them, that's the violation. Or, as Rashi seems to say, it may or may not be about separation, but there's this focus on lo sigach em al habanim, meaning that they need to be together previously for it to be prohibited. That may or may not be that you're separating them. Maybe you're taking them together, maybe you're taking one away from the other. And then we have the view of the Chizkuni, which in some ways is the opposite of what we saw in Targum Yonasan, that it's actually what's most prohibited, the classical prohibition, is actually taking them together rather than taking them apart from one another. And given the reasoning of the Chizkuni, it actually makes a lot of sense, right? The whole problem is you shouldn't be, you know, going in and, you know, eating a whole family for dinner, right? Chickens and eggs, or gedi b'chalei v'imo, that sort of thing. So if you take one and not the other, if you just take the mother and not the chicks, well, you haven't really, you know, you haven't really violated this in its fullness, right? You've only sort of, it's not clear you violated an isser at all. That's why the real prohibition is taking the two together. So that fits well. But we really have three different focuses here on what the pasuk means. Tamar had a question, and then Rina.
Yeah, I was confused how the Chizkuni reads his pshat into the word im. Like, I understood it, but I didn't really understand the connection.
Don't take ha'em al habanim, ha'em im habanim. Don't take mother with child. That's what's prohibited, to take them both, to take the whole nest and just...
Oh, so he is reading it as the whole nest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Rina.
Okay, we were discussing for a while in our chavruta about the example of nata revi'i. I don't know how to pronounce
Nata
revi, that phrase,
yeah.
But... Nata Revai, about like a new tree, and like somebody in our chavruta was saying that she like actually she is familiar with like new trees and how should it, we were trying to figure out how is taking a fruit from a new tree that was just planted a form of Achzariut and Raftanut.
So
we have some problems.
Yeah, so Achzarius, I'm not sure he means that. I'm not sure he would see that as relevant, but Raftanus, right, mm-hmm. too much focus on appetite.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely fits well, right? You plant your fruit. You want to eat it right away, as opposed to having some patience and wait until it's fully matured before eating it, right? I think that would be the parallel there.
But isn't that like also like kind of like a waste of fruit in a way? I mean, I know it's just an example, but like it seems like it might be a good thing, you know? Like you have fruit growing on a tree, even though it's a new tree. Like why have it like
yeah, so
a waste?
I think it probably won't go to waste. Someone will eat it, you know, an animal maybe or whatever. I don't think it's going to go to waste per se. But the idea is we should train ourselves to not always jump in as soon as there's food. We should wait. And that's his logic of the mitzvah there.
Okay.
You know, we're not focusing here today. The tamei mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah, will come in and be supportive and helpful
okay.
to some of the logic, but it's not really our main focus.
Okay.
I included on the sheet the Ksav VaKabbalah. It's very interesting how he sets this up, and he cites a lot of the sources that we saw, one of which is the Sifrei. Right? What we said is the Targum Yonasan approach actually appears in the Sifrei, in the Medrash Halacha from the Tanaim, which says, just it formulates, Hanotel Eim Me'al Habanim, leaving aside the actual halachic sources there. Contrast that to, this wasn't on the source sheet, but it's in the Gemara, Kuf Mem Aleph, Amenalf, the other Mishnah, Hanotel Eim Al Habanim, in our Mishnah, right? So do you say, is the proper teaching Hanotel Eim Al Habanim or Hanotel Eim Me'al Habanim? Right? It's one little letter, one mem, but it makes a really big difference. Is the point that you're taking the mother from the children, or is that you're taking them together, maybe? Right? How you, even among the Tanaim, they may have this similar machlokas about how to read the text. And we'll see the view that we saw in the Chizkuni is supported by the Rambam. Source number 10, does someone want to read the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos? We've seen this already for a different purpose, but another Chiddush of this Rambam as well. So we have a volunteer. Not everyone wants. Yeah, Nettie?
So it's like to take the nest like in its fullness at the time that you're like hunting, so the mother and the sons. That's what pasuk means when it says lo tikafa imal abanim. Uzeh halav nitak laaseh. Vuhu amro shalov tishalach asayin. And this love is like attached to an aseh, and it says like send away the mother bird. The kolzman shuliya afshar l'shalach l'kayim aseh sheba kigun shemisa ha'im kodam shi'shalcha loka. So any time that you're not able to send away the mother bird to be mekayim the aseh, like for example, if the mother dies before you send her away, then you get malchus for this. Tikvar isparu mishpatei mitzvazu v'sof mesechus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So the rest of the Rambam we focused on previously, but the first line saying that the prohibition is mikachas kana tzipor bichlalo, it's pretty clear that the prohibition is only taking it all together. If you just took the mother, it sounds like you have not violated shiluach hakein, at least the lav, right? It's a striking point. Again, if you ask someone on the street, you take the mother bird, or do you violate shiluach hakein? Most people would say, yeah, of course, that's a classic violation of shiluach hakein. According to the Rambam, it's actually not. And let's also take a look. Source 11, the Rambam's positive mitzvah, right, it's a double mitzvah, a lav and an aseh. As the Rambam just said, the aseh is a lav, it's in the form of a lav anitak l'aseh. The lav becomes an aseh. It's sort of to remedy or minimize the damage after you did the aveira. He doesn't make that so clear here, but he does elsewhere. He says, "Mitzvah kuf mem ches, hishetzivanu l'shaleach es hakein." How would he translate that? What's the mitzvah? L'shaleach es hakein. What does that mean?
Send the nest.
Send the nest. So that's a little odd grammatically. A lot of grammar today. Right? Literally, it means to send away the nest. How might we explain that? So, if you want it to be hyper-literal, right, you'd say it means to send away the mother and the children. We'll see. There's actually a question as to whether that works or not for fulfilling the mitzvah. It's probably not what the Rambam meant, but just because that would be a little odd and he'd probably want to spell it out a bit more. But it's possible. What are other possibilities? Some people said them before. I didn't catch everything. Yeah?
We can't just leave the mother.
Right. Maybe the the maternal head of household, right? Mm-hmm. You send the mother, which is associated with the cane, something like that. What else? Yeah?
Maybe since it's like a law of Shanika Kwase, it's like you already have the nest, so now, and the mother. So now you send away the nest and you take the mother. It's kind of a different scenario.
You'd send away the nest and you take, you mean the eggs?
Oh, wait. No, I just confused it. Never mind. It doesn't fit anymore.
It's not, well, it's not, I mean, it might work, right? Like, maybe take the eggs and then send away the mother slash nest.
Yeah.
Maybe that works, right? Yeah. That could work, and that would...
Because you already have the full nest, so it's starting the action at a different point in the process.
Right, yeah, interesting, right. Because of the Rambam's timing, actually, there may be a certain additional logic there. Okay, good. And one more possibility is if you take l'shaleach, not as, like, to send or throw, but, like, to empty out. So, l'shaleach zaken, to empty out the nest, I think one of the achronim says this, to empty out the nest from the mother, meaning to send away the mother from the nest, but you're not sending away the nest, you're sending away, implied, the mother from the nest. And that's just how you would formulate it. That's not the standard usage of the word l'shaleach, but it's another possibility. It seems pretty clear that, though, that, because right, Rambam quotes the pasuk, shaleach tishaleach esa'im, v'esabarim tigach lach. So it doesn't really make sense to say you'd have to send them together, even though grammatically that may work for that line. So one of these ways of getting to what the Rambam probably means seems to have to be in effect. Yeah, one, two.
Okay, so on the mitzvah lo ta'asai, all he says is taking the kansi or bachala, which is both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have the taking just the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have taking just the chicks.
Why?
Does he have that? Or does he not have, like, for the Rambam, can you take just the chicks also? Oh, I guess that was the Gemara, though. The Gemara says you can't do that.
The Gemara says you can't do that, and we'll see the Rambam in source 22 will may or may not bear on the same issue. So hold off on that for a second.
So right now, all that we know about the Rambam is you can't take both.
You can't. It's usher daraisa to take both. If you just take the mother, it sounds like that is not prohibited by the law.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you're not going to. You know, we'll see this in a bit. But probably that would be a bit to lase, right? It says send away the mother. If you don't send away the mother, you're being mevatel the asay. If you take it instead of sending it, you're mevatel the asay, but not the lav. That's the way it seems from the Rambam.
Take them up. Okay. And then taking the chicks, also we don't know, right?
Taking
now.
The chicks, it sounds like there's no lav. You might think there's an asay based on the Gemara, but that may be complicated. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the Rambam. And the Chinuch, as you've mentioned, the Chinuch generally follows the Rambam. Here that's going to be a little trickier than usual. Yeah, does someone want to read source 12 and try to make some sense of it? Or just read it and then, you know,
sure. I could read it if you
okay, want. We have a volunteer from the computer. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Shelo likach ha'em me'al habanim, that you shouldn't take the mother from on the kids. Shelo likach kan tzipor ha'em ve'avruchim o ha'beitzim bichlalo. That we shouldn't take the nest of the bird, of the mother, and the chicks, or the eggs, meaning like fully, it seems like. All together. Ela shenishlach ha'em. Rather, we should send away the mother. And on this it says, in Dvarim kaf bet, Vav lo tikach ha'em al habanim. Should not take the mother on the kids.
Right, and probably he would take al to be with. Right, don't take the mother with the kids together. Don't take them all together. Rather, send the mother. Okay.
Right.
And then this next line is a bit less. It says the details. You'll see them later. And it's lav anitak le'asei. So, but let's try to make some sense out of.
Just skip it. Okay.
Yeah, skip that for now. But what? So he on the one end he says. Shalikach ha'em me'al habanim. And on the other hand, he says, Shalonikach kan tzipor ha'em ve'ayfrochim ha'beitzim bichlalo. Right? So it sounds like it's almost in tension with itself. Right? On the one hand, me'al habanim is about separating from, you don't take the mother from the chicks. And the other hand, he's saying the prohibition is to take them together. So I think part of the issue here is the Chinuch wants to keep the language of the Rambam, right? That's where this line of the bichlalo, that comes from the Rambam. But it's a little odd that he then says, Lalika ha'em me'al habanim, if what he really means is ha'em al habanim, as he says later. So I'm not really sure how to solve this theorem. And actually, the Dvar of Ram, one of the Achronim, says that these two points are incompatible. To say me'al habanim is totally incompatible with saying that the prohibition is to send them together. And yet, that's what the Chinuch seems to say. And I believe his headers, the Shlo Likach, is actually from the Chinuch, not someone else. So it seems like a bit of a stira, but the truth is it's not so crazy. If he would say, if he just understands may Allah banim to mean, you know, with, if he does like that, maybe that's the best solution, but it's not a strong, not a great one, but it could be maybe that's what he meant. Fine. And then interestingly enough, in source 13 on the Mitzvah Aseh, right, the mitzvah is l'shalecha emin akein, to send the mother away from the nest, kodim shikach habanim, before taking the kids. He quotes the pasuk, and he says, "Nohagis b'chol makom b'chol zman zuchar min kevos ve'over alav zeh ve'lakach ha'em be'oda al habanim bital asei zeh." If you take the mother while she's still with the kids, be'oda al habanim, he's been mevatel the asei. So he ends up. This is the be'oda al habanim. Who said that? Rashi. So if you put it all together, the Chinuch says all three views without being clear. What side he's on. So I'm really not sure what to do with that. I think the simplest approach is to say he agrees with the Rambam, and Be'od al-Abanim is, you know, it's true. It does need to be with the chicks. And the Me'al is Lav Dafka, and the Bechlalo is what he really means in terms of the Lav. And the Be'od al-Abanim is also talking about the Bitul Aseh. So maybe that can help explain it, but it is a little bit unusual. So what we have here, we have the Chinuch gets into this a little bit, gets into this discussion a little bit, and he'll actually have a proof for what we're understanding as the Rambam's position, although he doesn't explicitly attribute it to the Rambam. He'll have an interesting proof. So source 14, L'shalech emin akein, dinim elo mevuarim, b'Rambam perek yigimu hiru shchita v'tur v'shulchan aruch, reish tani beiz, echto v'adin mekitzer fine. Hamotze kein baderech shel hefger, if you find the nest on a path that's not owned by anyone, him b'derach hinala ilan, actually on the road itself, on a tree, or al gavi bali chayim, or on an animal, or al adam, or al mayim, or a person, on a person, on the water, v'ayim rovetzes al afrochem al abetzim, the mother is crouching over the chicks or the eggs, v'rotz elikach mehem, and you want to take them, so notice he mentions that, right? Remember we talked last couple days about whether you actually need to want the eggs for the mitzvah to take effect, so he seems to say you do. Mitzvahs asei l'shaleach ha'em. There's a positive commandment to send the mother. V'im laka ha'em. And if he takes the mother, hein im laka habanim, gam kein. V'hein im lo laka habanim, whether he takes the chicks or not, or rak ha'em, or just the mother, avar al mitzvahs asei, shaleach tishalach, v'avar al mitzvahs lo sasei, lo sikach. So what does the Minchas Chinuch say? You violate the mitzvah whether you take just the mother or if you take the mother plus the chicks, right? Either way, you're chayav. So who is, right, does he agree with the Rambam based on what we just said? No, right, the Rambam says you need to take them both together. Does he agree with Rashi? Maybe, right? I guess I'm setting this up, but what does Rashi think? Right, Rashi says you don't want to take he says, the way he takes lo sikach ha'em al banim is he says be'oda al baneha. Right, you don't want to take the mother when it's still on his kids. According to Rashi, if you just take the mother, it seems pretty clear you're chayev. But what about if you take the mother with the chicks? You take it all together. Would you be chayev according to Rashi? Right, we already said the chizkuni sounds pretty clear like you're not chayev, and maybe Targum Yonasan also and the Sifrei. What about Rashi? I don't know if there's any real hard proofs. I mean, the Minchas Chinuch will try to be mefalpo a little bit. But I think it's an open question how to understand Rashi. Because if you think that it really depends on what you understand the basis of the prohibition is. Is the basis of the prohibition about separating between the parent and children? Specifically, taking, right, if you take the mother while leaving the chicks behind, that's the greatest prohibition, but if you take them together, so then maybe there's less trauma for the mother or something like that. Is that how to look at it? Or no, it's just the very fact that you're taking them away instead of, you know, you're taking the mother from her home with the kids there. Either way, you're displacing them, and that's the prohibition. I think it's not clear within Rashi how Rashi would hold, but we do have We have the Minchas Chinuch clearly saying you're chayiv in both cases. We have the Chizkuni saying you're chayiv only if you take them together. I think I said it wrong. Not the Chizkuni, right? The Chizkuni agrees with the Rambam. Right? The Chizkuni says you need to take them together. The Targum Yonasan and the Sifrei seem to say that you need to separate them, right? So maybe you're only chayiv in the opposite case if you take them separately. But if you take just the mother, if you take them together, maybe you'd be putter, arguably. So we have really three different views on how to apply this. And the Minchas Chinuch in the continuation here, we'll read it quickly. V'hinei Masha Kasav Kam B'Pshitas Tafilu Eino Lokeach Rak Ha'Eim V'hino Notal Abanu Anichan Oshem Mishalchan Over Ba'Seve Lo Sasei. Right, this point that we just read from the Chinuch, that if you take the mother alone, you violate the Asei. Nireh She'eino Davar Barur. Right, that's not so clear. D'Bechuin Kuf Mem Aleph Mivor, and this is the Mishnah we read just a few minutes ago. Im Amar Hareini Notel Es Ha'Eim U'Mishalech Es Habanim Chayev Shenemar Shleich Shalach Es Ha'Eim. Right, if you say you want to take the mother and send away the chicks, in that case you're chayev. Why are you chayev? Because it says Shleich Shalach Es Ha'Eim, send away the mother. Is that so? What did you violate if you do that? Right, if you take the mother and send away the kids, what did you violate? The Asay. But you didn't violate. That's what it sounds like, because the Mishnah doesn't say you can't do that because lo sigach ha'im al abanim. It's not what it says at all. It says it's because of shaleach to shalach mevor the chayav mitzvah saseh the shaleach. Aval efshar da'ala lo saseh lo avar klal. Maybe you didn't violate the law. And he says nafkamina, if you would shechta, you kill it, you don't get malkos. Skipping a couple lines, where isi birashi perish haTorah kasav lo sigach ha'im be'oda al baneha nira de lo piresh al im abanim. Rak may al habanim. Right, Rashi, the way he takes it, understands you can't separate the mother from the chicks. Im kemi dvarav nira de af al ha'aim luchud over belav hazeh gam kain. Right, even if you're even if you just take the mother, you are over as well. And fine, he says the ra'aim has a different shot. Right, the way the ra'aim understands Rashi, the main point is to exclude me'ofefes. But the way that the Minchas Chinuch is reading Rashi, Rashi is saying to exclude the Rambam, right? That you are chayev in a case where you take just the mother. Right? You are chayev on, oh, you're over on the lav. You're not just chayev to send the mother away. You're actually over on the lav in such a case. So that's an important point here in the Minchas Chinuch, that he actually draws a proof from that Mishnah. How might we read the Mishnah differently? Any thoughts? The easiest way is just to say lav dafka, right? It says you need to send the mother. You can't take the mother. That's the most explicit counterexample of shaleach shalach. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not over on the lav. Maybe you're also over on the lav, and just this is the most direct contradiction. That's at least a simple way out. Fine. And in terms of other sifrei mitzvos, I just included one other one. If you see, look at the smak in source 15, shloligach ha'im al habanim. So he says, loligach ha'im al habanim, but he's just paraphrasing the pasuk. So several other Sifrei mitzvos, also the Smag, the Smak, the Chazonish, in their Sifrei mitzvos, they basically paraphrase the Pasuk. So that doesn't really tell you anything, right? Because Pasuk's the Pasuk. So the Rambam and the Chinuch go out of their way to say something different, which complicates things a bit. The Chinuch himself is, as we saw, is a little inconsistent, but the Rambam seems to clearly say you only violate it if you take them together. So again, just to recap, right? We have our takeaway, the three shitos we have, and this is a pretty big deal, right? Someone says, it's this week's parsha, right? So someone in shul, someone's come over to you and say, I've always tried to figure this out. What cases of shiloh hakein? What's the case where you violate the law? I want to know, because I don't want to be violating the law, and I spend most of my time doing things with birds. So when do you violate the law and when do you not? So you can tell them, it's a machlokas rishonim, right? It's a machlokas rishonim and maybe tanaim too. Right, and what are the three views?
Taking them together.
You need to take them together. That's the only way to violate the law, right? If you take just the mother, you don't violate the law. Who says that?
The Rambam,
And the Chizkuni, right? Okay, what are the other views? Taking just the kids. We haven't looked at that yet, but it's going to be a little tricky to find that. Some Rishonim may hold that, but hold that for now. What are the, Okay, well, we got the other two positions, right? So either me'al, focus on me'al, then it needs to be a separation. If you take them together, somehow you haven't fully fulfilled the law. You haven't fully violated the law because you haven't separated them, and maybe that would be a bad thing, maybe it'd be a bit lasse, maybe it'd be something else, but it's not at least not the full law, which seems to come out of Targum Yonasan and the Sifrei. And the other possibility that either way, right? If you take the mother, I don't care what you do with the kids. If you take the mother instead of sending the mother away, that is the law. Lo sikach ha'em, period. Alabanim, whatever alabanim means. It was with the banim before. Now you take it. I don't care what you do with the banim. If you take the mother, you violated the law. So, right, three different views among the Rishonim and earlier as to how one would violate it in terms of mother and kids. And again, we'll get into the kids only option in a bit. Yeah, Dvorah and then Nedi. Yeah, so it's not explicitly said, but those who say me'al, one can infer, possibly, that they would say it's only prohibited if there's a real separation. That comes out of Targum Yonasan and the Sifrei. So you could argue on that. You could say no one really holds that. They just say me'al, they don't mean it. It's not lahalacha, it doesn't really limit the law. Right? You could argue, you could push back on that, but at least it's a possible way of reading those positions, that only if you take the mother without the chicks. But if you take them all together, you wouldn't violate it. And what would the logic be? The logic is, if the whole basis of the law is that you're torturing the mother, and that's a bad thing, so maybe if you take them together, you haven't sufficiently tortured the mother to violate the law. Put it that way, yeah.
Between that one and the second one?
I don't know what order you're going in.
Between this one and the other option that's not Ramban, where it was like maybe Rashi.
There's a possible view that just everything, right? You take the mother with the chicks, you take the mother without the chicks. As long as you took the mother, you're chayav. It's not about separation per se. It's not about taking them together per se. It's just about taking the mother, period. Yeah.
I was just curious, when we were talking about the Lashon HaRambam of the Shalei and the Sakin, is it possible that there's no you have to be made there? The Rambam is just saying that because the Mishnah refers to the Shilach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that probably is why the Rambam uses that formulation. Again, also we should keep in mind that this is the Sefer Mitzvos, which is written in Judeo-Arabic, so, I don't know what the original was, but presumably he used the Arabic word for nest. But probably he keeps the formulation of the Mishnah, and that's what there's a whole discussion. What does that mean? Shiluch HaKein. Why does the Mishnah call it that? The simplest answer is, it's called Shiluch HaKein, means the sending of the nest, meaning the sending involving a nest. There's only one mitzvah that involves sending and nest, so you know what it is.
There's only one mitzvah that involves sending your name, though. Like Shiluch HaKein. I feel like it should be called Shiluch HaKein.
Okay, well, when you write a Sefer Mitzvah, so you can put it in. So I think in terms of the Mishnah itself, that's not as unusual. For the Rambam to say the mitzvah is l'shaleach es hakein, then you're like, what on earth does that mean? Right? That, I think the question gets stronger when you look at the Rambam. But yeah, the Rambam presumably is patterning his formulation after the Mishnah. So now let's talk about... And there's some more indications on this issue, not on the Mefarshe Chumash, and not on the Monei Mitzvos, but on the actual sugya, on the Gemara of Harini Notel Sa'im, Umeshaleach Zabanim. There's various indications in different directions. So the Re Milunel, he says, Am Harini Notel Sa'im, Umeshaleach Zabanim, right? And we say, you're Chayev still, you still need to send it away. So he says, Shema Tomar, Lohik Birakasav, El Shalo Yachris Ha'im, Vehazera, Bivas Achas, lest you think that the only prohibition is what we called hashchasas hamin, right? Wiping out the whole species, animal genocide. Unless you think that, and you say, no, I'm not going to kill them both. I'm gonna take the mother and send away the kids. Kimishpat oso vespino, right? Don't say it's like that. Usually you need to send away the mother. Today, I'll send away the kids and keep the mother. I'm still not doing oso vespino. Kamash malan, shaliach tishalach esaim vegomer. The answer is, you actually need to send away the mother. I don't care what you do with the kids, you need to send away the mother. So this would seem also like what we saw in the Chinuch, the idea that it's all about sending the mother, the kids don't matter one way or the other. Fine. Okay, so that's the Re Milunel. The Rambam, source 17, doesn't really add much. He really just says, that's just quoting the Mishnah. He doesn't add too much. But the Beis Yosef, when he paskins this, or that when he's discussing this, him wrote zelika ha'em v'shalach habanim eno rashai. If he wants to take the mother and send the chicks, he can't do that, right? That's the Mishnah. Harinotel se'em v'shalach habanim chayev v'shalach shenem v'shalach se'em perush Amar harini notel se aim chuli v'arei ein ani notel ha'aim al abanim. If you say, I'm going to take the mother, send the kids, and I'm not going to send away the mother, lo amar klum, you didn't say anything, you can't do that. You have an obligation to send the mother. So you have no right to not do that. But again, it's clear from the Beis Yosef that you're mevatel the aseh. It doesn't sound like you're violating a lav, right? You're just not fulfilling the aseh by taking the mother, which seems like pshat in the Gemara. That's the diuk that we saw was made in a couple of places. A commentary on the Shulchan Aruch there, the Rishon LeZion, fine, he says, it's not necessarily you're going to send the kids, maybe you'll leave the kids. The point is, you're only going to take the mother. You might think you're pater. No, kamash malan, you're chayev. And he adds, So interesting, he adds a din, which is in the Tosefta. I looked it up. I didn't put it on the sheet, though. No one really talks about this, but let's say you have two different people, right? One takes the aim, one takes the banim, right? Divide and conquer. So what's the din? Who violated it, either of them? And what the Tosefta there says, and he brings down the halacha, that the one who takes the mother is chayev, and the one who takes the chicks is pater. Now, I think when you're talking about pater and chayev here, you can't mean pater or chayev to send it away, because what would it mean? What's the havamina? The person who took the chicks is chayev to send away the mother. What? He took the chicks. He can't send. So probably pater and chayev here means pater and chayev in terms of, like, did you violate the lav or not? That's what it would sound like if you want to read with that diuk. And if that's the case, it seems pretty clear that this would be a big proof against the Rambam, right? Taking the mother without the chicks, you're chayev. Even someone else has the chicks. Someone else took the chicks. You took the mom. You're chayev for that. This would seem to be a support, maybe even in the Tosefta, a support for the not Rambam view.
And it obviously matters the order, right? Like, if the person... Well, I don't know. I guess the person who takes the mother is always... Like, if the person already took the chicks and then there's just the mother there, then the person who took the...
If you took the chicks before, when the mother was away. Was away. And then the mother comes back?
Okay,
or... Mm-hmm.
So, if the person, does it matter who takes what first, or the other?
So, well, hold that thought. I think the Chacham Tzvi is going to talk about that in a couple minutes. He mentioned to me he's going to bring it up. So, so hold that thought about order and how that works. So it'll be some counterintuitive thing. So stay tuned. There's a diuk. There's another diuk in favor of the non Rambam position. From the Ramban. So, and this is from the sugya of Hektesh, right? Ve'ela da'agva ha'le'em ve'akdesha. The Gemara was discussing there, you picked up the mother, you were makdish it, it then becomes Hektesh, and then the question is, would you be chayiv in shiluach ha'kein or not? So what does the Ramban say there? E'kashilach, hechi agva, how could you pick up the mother in such a case in order to be makdish it? If ve'atnan ha'reini notal se'em v'mshalech z'abanim, chayiv. As soon as you pick up the mother, you would, and you're thinking of taking it or using it for hektesh, so then you're chayev, presumably chayev to violate, you're chayev in the sense that you violated a lav, right? Because the question here is, how could you pick it up? It's not, aren't you chayev to send it away? That the Gemara is talking about. He's saying, how could the Gemara be talking about that? You're chayev as soon as you pick it up. What are you chayev as soon as you pick it up? You're chayev the lav of l'sigarei malabanim. That's what it sounds like the Ramban is saying there. So that would indicate that the Ramban also is on board with the view that taking the mother without taking the chicks is chayev, and it also shows he reads that Gemara. Notel se'im v'shalech z'abanim chayev doesn't just mean chayev that you have an obligation to then send the mother as the aseh, but you're actually chayev for being over on the lav. Again, an anti-Rambam view. Fine. And the Torah Tamima is helpful on explaining this line. Of harini notel se'im v'shalech z'abanim. He says that you might have thought, Shelo Yomar, the Iker Kpeda Satorehu, Shelo Litala Aim Alabanim, Rach Beperudam. Don't think the prohibition is only when they're separate. Rather, the prohibition is even when they're together, right? So, but that formulation, you might have thought it's only when they're separate, I think is informs the view of the Chizkuni and presumably the Rambam as well. Fine. So, putting that on the side, now there are various proofs in both directions from the Gemaras and the Toseftas and the Rishonim. But now let's talk about the chicks, right? What about just taking the chicks? right? The pasuk says lo sikach ha'em al banim. The pasuk doesn't say lo sikach ha'banim al ha'em. So you're just reading the pasuk, you might say there's no prohibition to do that. Maybe it's bad. Maybe it's bitul aseh. Maybe it's something. But it sounds like the pasuk only prohibits taking the mother, even though, as I said before, I think like public consciousness would say, oh, how could it be? You know, of course you can't take the chick because the idea of torturing the mother would still apply. But fine. But Shalach Shalach is about sending them, right. Shalach Shalach, you have to send your mother. But that would be a bit to lase, not being over on the lap, right? So let's look at this din in the Rambam here. And it comes out of Gemara later on, parallel Gemara and Bav Metzia. Habetzin v'hayafrochin atzman, right? The chicks are eggs themselves. Sheyesh b'shovach, in your dove coat. Lo kana osan bal shovach, kol zman shelo parchu. Until they grow up, you're not koned to them. You don't attain ownership of them. Why? Because it would be usher to do so. V'davar zekzeres chachamim hi. It's a rabbinic enactment. U'mishum lo sigach ha'em al abanim naguba. Because if you would be koned to them, you would violate lo sigach ha'em al abanim, or something in that direction. And that's why he says, l'fiach harot l'hakam sefrochim v'etzim elu l'chaver. If you want to give them to your friend, right, for now, they're in your air, they're in your building, so no one's going to steal them. But if you want to give them to someone else, how do you do that? Mitapech ala shovach shivrikru ha'imahos v'yigbu me'al ha'aretz. Etc. You first send away the mothers, then you can grant it to your fellow. To your right, you can make a kinyan on it for your friend. Give it to them. You can't do it before because there's some issue of shiloh hakein from gzeres chachamim. So what is the gzeres chachamim? So the Kesef Mishnah spells this out. V'atorah lo asra ela shalolika ha'aim al habanim. The Torah only prohibits taking the mother from the chicks. Avalikach olizkos or lizakos bebeitzim v'shalolika ha'aim. Right, what about the opposite? Taking the chicks or the eggs and leaving the mother there, lo mitzar midoraisa. So that's not biblically prohibited. Aval chachamim asruhu gzeir shem yavo li gachayim al abanim. It's asur midorabanan. Why? It's a little confusing, right? If you're allowed to take the chicks from the mother, but not the mother from the chicks, people will get confused and they'll do it the wrong way. So midorabanan, it's asur. And then the Rambam here is adding on, since it's asur midorabanan, you can't do it, right? You can't be matna the eggs to someone else because you'd be violating this Darabanan, and Chazal block that kinyan, so to speak. Now, what comes out of this actually fits very well for the Rambam Shita, as I think Nettie was pointing out before, right? The Rambam says, putting together our two ideas from the Rambam, from the Rambam's Shin Vav. Number one, the assay is not before when you first encounter the nest. It's only if you take the chicks, then you have to send it away. Number one, that's in terms of the assay. And the lav is only taking them all together, right? So here, the way it comes out is what would be prohibited about taking the chicks based on the way the Rambam formulates the mitzvah. You didn't violate the lav, so there's no assay that kicks in. And why should there be a lav? What's the lav? There's nothing left. So it actually works very well, as the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam, that it's not, there's no lav, there's no assay. It's asur midrabanan, gzeir shema. It looks too much like taking the mother to take the chicks. So you shouldn't do that midrabanan. But there's no actual iser midoraisa at all. Okay, it's a good loophole if you have some heter to do durabanans. I don't know. Chola, maybe? Yeah.
It seems strange because the whole point of this scenario, I mean, maybe not in the eyes of the Rambam, but the whole point of most views is like you want the kids to taking the kids while the mother's present would be a problem. So you think that, you know, the problematic scenario that the pasuk has in mind is taking the kids while the mother's still there, and then we have to shoo her away.
Yeah.
But then the problem, the iser isn't that, it's just taking the mother.
Yeah. No, that's true. Meaning, if you're thinking like from the perspective of tamei mitzvos, right, like, if you want to be Darshinan Tam and Dekra, which we generally don't do, but if you want to say the reason for the mitzvah has to fully dictate all the details, this definitely doesn't work well, right? Because presumably, you take the baby from the mother's suffering from that just as much as if you take the mother from the chicks, right? I mean, is it so different? Is it so much, like, it's comforted by the fact that it's home in an empty nest, literally, after its kids were taken from it and, you know, killed, sent to the slaughterhouse? But presumably not, right? I'm not a chicken psychologist, but I'm guessing it would be similar. Yeah, so it's a fair question, but the answer is it's really a question on the Torah, right? The Torah says losikach ha'em al abanim. It doesn't say losikach ha'banim al ha'em, and we don't say darshin and tam in the cross. We don't interpret based on the reasons. The reasons often correlate, but we don't dictate that the details fit it. So it is what it is, right? Still asher midor abanan at the very least, according to the Ritva. You'll be in business. So let's look at the Ritva, who's maybe would fit better with the time of the Kra. This also is a ritva from the sugya of Kachim. The discussion there is a little involved. I don't want to get too into it. But the thought was, Mukdashin my tamalo, right? Why by Kachim? Do we say you don't do Shiloh HaKein? And the question is, what's the Havamina? So, you know, why would you be sending something that belongs to Hekdesh? What would be the idea that you have to send something of Hekdesh? It doesn't belong to you. And he says, no, the Havamina is Gzeres HaKasavi Shekol Zman Shelo Yishala HaEim Shelo Yikach HaSabanim. It's not that it would be prohibited to send. It's not that you would have an obligation to send the mother because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Hekdesh. Rather, the din would be, you can't take the chicks because the mother's there. So if you took the chicks, it would be Gzeres HaKasav that that's Usser. Now, usually Gzeres HaKasav that something is prohibited means it's Usser Midoraisa. So it sounds like the Ritva here is saying you would be violating the law, presumably of Losigach HaEim Al HaBanim, to take the Banim in that case. Now, this is only in a Havamina, but what changes the Maskana? Presumably what changes the Maskana is Kamash Malan, that you're Pater in a case of Hekdesh. But in a case of not Hekdesh, that would be parallel, presumably you would be Chayev, right? That if you would take the chicks when the mother's still there, you would violate the Deraisa. So that is Meduyuk in this Ritva. And it's not just the Ritva. Other Chachmei Sfard say similarly, but it's not explicit anywhere. But this is probably our best counterpoint to the Rambam who says taking the chicks is only Asur Midrabanan. You have the Ritva here saying it's Asur Midoraisa, and we should add, maybe the most straightforward approach, the Minchas Chinuch says it's a Bitul Aseh. But that makes the most sense, right? Taking the chicks and not sending away the mother first, that's Bitul Aseh. You should have sent away the mother first and then taken the chicks. The Rambam doesn't go down that path because the nature of the Rambam's Aseh is only after you did the Lav. For the other Monei Mitzvos, who think that there's a positive Aseh to send away the mother, if you skip that step and take the chicks first, that will be a Bitul Aseh. That's probably the most reasonable position, with the Rambam at one extreme saying Derabanan, and the Ritva at the other extreme saying that there's a Lav. Yeah?
Are the idea of it being like a mitzvah beforehand versus like only like Mitach Aseh, are they like mutually exclusive, or like can you hold that it's just both?
They're not mutually exclusive. It's possible to say there's two different stages. It just doesn't sound like the Rambam holds that. But the Rashba, some people suggest in the Rashba that we saw that he holds there's two different stages. The Rashba talking about why you don't say a bracha. And there's different formulations, different places. Yeah.
Just because, like, otherwise, why, like, if you're not able to say both, then, like, why are most of the Monei HaMitzvos saying it as, like, a thing that's, like, original? Like, at least in the Gemara, it seems like the opinion of the Chachamim is that it's just...
Right. So yeah, it definitely is Nitach La'aseh. The question is if it's only Nitach La'aseh, or if there's sort of two stages. There's first like mitzvah as just a normal positive mitzvah, and then if you do the Avera, then there's a second version of the mitzvah to undo the Avera, minimize the Avera, right? I think that's how the other approaches would take it. But the Chassam Sofer talked about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. It depends. I mean, we didn't, you know, unfortunately we're not going to have time to do that sugya of Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim directly, but we touched on it a bit before as you indicated. Yeah. Okay, now we're up to the Chacham Tzvi. We're also very quickly running out of time, so just we'll read a few lines from the Chacham Tzvi, and then we'll close. He was asked, he was sent a tshuva from Lublin, Shem Medinas, Poland, right? Lublin, famous city Lublin in Poland. They had a question, and they say, Shesha'alta, I mean, he's now repeating their questions to them. Shesha'alta, Hamishalecha, Ein Ve'abanim, Gam Shnehem. What if you send away the mother and the chicks together? You literally are Mishaleach HaSakein. You take the nest and you just throw it. I don't know, you have to do it. Like, let's say they're chicks. They can bounce around a bit. Or whatever it is. You send it away. Im kiem mitzvah shiloh hakein. Did you fulfill the mitzvah? Mi neima kra dav kuksiv shiloh shalach v'esabanim tikach lach. Olo v'amrit sheshachach mei Lublin nistapku. Right, you said this is a suffix. All the great Tzmichachim of Lublin are not sure. And they send the question to the Chacham Tzvi to try to resolve it. And really, there's two questions here. One is, what they specify, do you need to save Esabanim Tikach Lach? Do you need to take the chicks, take the babies, or not? Meaning, if you don't take the chicks or not, are you fulfilling the mitzvah? That's one part of the question, which ties in a bit to what we did the last couple days in terms of when the chiyuv takes effect. May or may not be the same issue. And then the other issue, I think, is on top of that, is they'll get into, is if you send them away at the same time. Like, does that change things a bit? So let's read the first few lines here. Shulan Yas Daiti Mishnah Seinuhi. This is a Mishnah. You're asking a question, you're not sure. It's a Mishnah. Hareini notal se'eim, u'mishaleach es'abanim, chayev l'shaleach shem ha'shaleach shalach se'eim. Dikta kalomar chayev l'shaleach. We say, right, if you want to take the mother and send away the chicks, you need to send away the mother. Okay, why do we say you need to send away the mother? V'lo amra lo kiyem mitzvah shalachim. We didn't say you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. We didn't say it's usher to take the mother, l'shaleich habanim, and send away the chicks. What does that teach us? Let's say you did this. Let's say you took the mother, you sent the kids away. Right? I think this was Leva's question before. Right? You took the mother, you sent the kids away. Now what do you do? Now what do you do? Chayev l'shaleich is chayev. You have to send away the mother. Meaning, even though you already sent the chicks away, there's no more, you already separated them, there's no more chicks in the nest, you still have a mitzvah to send the mother away. V'kevan shu chayev, al karchach kishim l'shaleich ha'em, af im sheshilach habanim, kiye mitzvah shiluach. And since you're chayev to send the mother in such a case, so why are you chayev? Because there's a mitzvah. If you do it, you fulfill the mitzvah. So if you first send away the chicks, and then you take the mother, or whatever order, and then you send away the mother, you actually fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluchin. Of course, you may have violated the law before, depending on what you hold, but you fulfill the assay now. What about saying you need to take the banim? No, it's reshus. Right? Do you have to work 6 days a week? No, many Jews don't, but it's a reshus. And that's why you're supposed to, that's why, same thing here, taking the chicks is a reshus. He gets into a further sugya, which we're not going to get into, but he basically agrees with the Rambam. But that's his view. Some disagree with this. So let's look at source 27, and then we'll close. The Birkei Yosef, who's quoting the Sefer Lechem Yehuda, who quotes the Zohar. The tzarech likach habanim davka. You actually need to take the chicks. So what does that mean? Mevadei dezoh mitzvah ketikuna. This is obviously the best way of doing the mitzvah, is if you send the mother and take the chicks. Why do we say that if you take the mother and send away the chicks, you still need to send away the mother? Doesn't that mean you fulfill the mitzvah? As we just saw in the Chacham Tzvi. Even if you sent away the chicks, you have to send away the mother as well. You fulfill the assay, maybe, or sort of, miha, at least. You aren't fully fulfilling it as it's stated. So it's like almost like you have fulfilled it, right? You fulfilled it, but not perfectly, not in the fullest sense. So he's not willing to say you didn't fulfill it, but he's sort of hedging a little bit. Fine, there's some diukim you can make on the exact girsa. Is it chayev? Is it lomar klum? We don't really have time to get into that. But it's just worth noting that there's a machlokes here on a couple of different issues, right? So number one, the machlokes as to whether you need to take the chicks or not to fully fulfill the mitzvah, right? Where the Zohar / Lechem Yehuda / Birkei Yosef thinks that you only fully fulfill it if you take the chicks, but you still fulfill it if you don't, but not as fully. On the opposite extreme, we have the Chacham Tzvi saying that not only do you not need to take the chicks, even if the chicks are long gone, right? You encounter this nest. You send the chicks away, and then you send the mother away, you have fulfilled the mitzvah, right? Even though, but by the time you sent the mother away, there were no chicks there, right? Not only are you not taking the chicks, they weren't even in the same nest at the time. And there's also possibly a middle position, which would reject the Chacham Tzvi and say, well, if you already got rid of the chicks, you can't fulfill the mitzvah anymore. But as long as you send the mother bird away, when the chicks are there, you can still fulfill the mitzvah. So again, this last few minutes, we looked a bit at the assay. Most of this year was thinking about the lav and just trying to sort out when does one violate the lav of lo sigach ha'em al habanim? Is it only when you take the mother and chicks together, like the Rambam and Chizkuni? Is it only when you separate them, me'al? Or is it either case? And we saw some proofs and indications in each direction. And then we saw these questions about fulfilling the assay. So important, as we saw, this ties in a lot to the Tamei HaMitzvah in different ways, right? The separation being the problem because of the pain for the mother versus the focus on eating it all together, Rav Tanus. So it doesn't always correlate, as Tamar pointed out, but often it does. And I think this helps clarify some of the questions about when exactly you violate the mitzvah. Tomorrow we'll close with the final sugya, the Mishnah and Gemara on Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, about the Agadata, about Schar and related. Any questions?